A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Huang. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
You know what I want to count down to? Getting off this show because I'm hungry. Breakfast time is coming soon.
And breakfast time was already past for some of you. Maybe you already picked up your nasi lemak, perhaps in a mall, your teh tarik as well. We've got the very man behind that idea of putting the humble nasi lemak in places where you can grab and go on your way to work.
He's even done more than that. He's actually dished out his famous nasi lemak at places like London and New York for, you know, you've heard Singapore Day in these countries.
Yes, yes. If you're an overseas Singaporean, this is the day that you look up for on the calendar.
And we spoke to him and he says, this year, I think he's going to China, to Shanghai, if I'm not wrong.
That is amazing. Yeah, we welcome the co-founder of Crave Nasi Lemak and Teh Tarik. You know the name brand Crave, right? Malik Hassan, you know a lot about growing and expanding an F&B outlet. We want to tap your expertise today. Malik, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
What do you have for breakfast if it's not Nasi Lemak tasting day?
Just a bread and Nutella.
Bread and Nutella.
Yeah, that works. Very old school.
Yeah. I'm an old school guy.
Hey, Malik, I made this mistake and I was corrected off air. And it got me thinking that a lot of people may accidentally assume that the sambal that goes with nasi lemak, it's not sambal belacan.
Nope.
What is it called?
We just call it as
sambal tumis or just sambal.
Yeah, sambal tumis or sambal nasi lemak.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And sambal belacan actually is more what?
I went to Jakarta.
Okay.
I went to Jakarta. I taste their sambal. That is sambal belacan.
Yeah. All right.
So it's got a bit of fish paste in it.
Yeah.
It's a bit more piquant.
More spicy.
Yeah. More smelly also. I mean, I'm just a regular Joe Blow saying this. Yeah.
So if you want to be safe, don't embarrass yourself by saying, give me the sambal belacan. Just say, it's can just I have some sambal?
Sambal.
Yes, that's all.
Full stop.
Yeah. And you can get sambal and nasi lemak from Crave, what, 26 outlets so far? And then you've opened a third one at Changi Airport. So Singaporeans going in and out of the country have, their access to nasi lemak. Tourists also get to know about it. But for now, the outlets you have, Hougang, Bedok, Punggol, Ion Orchard, Causeway Point. How did you move from a humble Adam Road to all this in your empire?
Well, we got to thank my partners because they're good in expanding and scaling. I'm only good in cooking.
You're the cook.
Yeah. Do you still cook?
The chili.
Really?
Yeah. The rest of it, I just make it into a standard operation where you have a step one, step two, step three to make it nice. Yeah.
Right. So like a recipe last time. But okay, so if you're doing the chili, then what's it like? I mean, 26 outlets, there's a lot of chili here. What's a day like for you?
Well, I used to cook like 28 kg per day.
Wow.
That's not a lot actually.
Okay.
For Adam Road. Now we cook like 1,002.
That's a lot of chili.
Wow, can you imagine while cooking the chili go in your eyes?
So if the prices of chili go up and down due to certain weather conditions or whatever, it does affect you with over 1,000 kilos of it that you've got to cook every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah. How have the prices of chili been so far? I don't go to the market that often, so you've got to tell me now, Malik.
Well, the chili doesn't go down.
It doesn't go down.
It will always go up.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, the prices of our costs always went up.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't go down at all.
Okay.
Yeah. But the prices for nasi lemak is still the same. Yeah.
Yeah. When you decide on outlets, I know you have partners working with you on this. How do you decide where is the next best outlet to open a Crave nasi lemak?
It's actually what I get from my partners is that it's not easy to get a space for a shopping mall.
Sure.
But we have contacts, it's our salesperson to go down and talking to all the landlords, yeah.
Right.
He always think this way, he told me that before, cheaper rental, you get cheaper returns.
Okay.
So that is why you don't mind positioning yourself in one of the most expensive malls in Singapore, which is Ion Orchard.
Yes,
yeah, you're in the basement. I see you next to the salad stalls and this bit of a Japanese shawl. Yeah. So you're right up there with a lot of big brands. I mean, is it profitable for you to be, say, at an Ion Orchard?
So far, so good.
Incredible. Yeah. So this totally bucks the trend that nasi lemak is meant to be, say, at a food court.
That's true. And then you have the tourist market as well. Speaking of tourists, Changi Airport, correct me if I'm wrong, you're opening a third outlet there?
Yep. It was like 3 days ago.
Okay. You've already opened. Congratulations on that. How is the business like in Changi Airport?
We started at T2 Transit. It was like okay at first. But after 1 month, it was fantastic. Then we get our second outlet at T2 arrival site. It was more than fantastic.
And this third one is where now?
The third one is T3, just beside the fountain.
I really wonder at your transit outlets, is it more Singaporeans on transit or could it be foreigners that are enjoying Crave Nasi Lemak there?
Well, now we have a lot of foreigners who are eating that.
So you've actually taught the world. Wow. Do you realise the impact of that, Malik? You've taught the world how to eat nasi lemak.
We used to have only Malaysian and Brunei customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But now with that transit, we even have like from Abu Dhabi, Dubai. Mm-hmm. I just got a video from a friend. The pilot we bought from the transit, he ate the nasi lemak. He was fantastic.
He was a Middle Eastern pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
Wow.
I was speaking with Malik Hassan, co-founder of Crave Nasi Lemak and Teh Tarik. So you say that when you start certain outlets in Changi Airport, it's okay, and then suddenly it becomes fantastic. At what stage does it turn fantastic for you? What is your benchmark? Is it a certain number of packets that you sell a day?
No matter how you open, what we believe is you make sure the quality is good.
Okay.
So when you open, you don't always think about earn money. You make your quality damn good.
Mm.
Then you will see after 1 month,
the returns come through. Because people appreciate that quality.
Yes. The important part is you have to have a customer that come back.
I'd like to continue on this vein of quality because I see a sparkle in your eye, Malik. Quality, how far back does your recipe go? Who came up with the recipe? Was it, you know, perhaps your parents or your grandparents? And how do you maintain quality checks? Do you have that?
Well, the recipe come from my grandmother.
Ah, it had to be.
From the kampung days of Siglap. Then goes to my parents, my mom and dad. Then come to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You inherited it.
Do your parents get involved in the quality check since they know the original recipe?
So they taste it and they say, this is good, this is
my mom still goes to shopping mall and try it. And if there's anything wrong, then I'll get the the mom scolding thing. But I do have like a special group of brothers. I mean, my brothers, they always go down and they just buy just like, the staff doesn't know them.
Random,
just check.
Okay. So you do quality checks via random means.
Yes, correct.
All right.
That is impressive and that is necessary. We're very competitive when it comes to F&B here in Singapore. Like I said, even at Ion Orchard, I know I pass that outlet of yours very often. You're really next to so many other big, big brands. So how do you stay on top of the other stalls?
If you want to be on top, you must be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we don't really look at other brands. What we look at, the quality, the costing must be good. That's all. And it will just come by itself.
So that's a lot of faith in the system working, the system of F&B. Malik, you have expanded. You underwent a joint venture with Pezzo Pizza. We've all seen those outlets. Could you share with us, what is it like working with someone out of the Selera Rasa family? Were there any challenges that came along with that?
Okay, let me tell you about Pezzo Pizza, Ellen and Chan Siang. One thing about them, there's a lot of people come to Adam Road, Selera Rasa, talk to us to do this venture.
Okay.
I think there's about three or five about around there. So we was like talking to them and we find it that it's not the right person, not the right person. Until Chang Sang came down and he talked to me. The thing that about him that I say yes to him is like a marriage proposal. Is that like he likes to work as a family. He always prefer to work as a family, but not as a business person.
Okay.
That's the reason. Because I'm a family business, and I love to work like a family. And he's like that, then okay. Because he always, every month, and every time I saw him, every 2 weeks, or you know, the first thing he will ask me, how's your family? Wow. Well, he's a young chap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's younger than me. Mm-hmm. Then he just said, how's your family?
Mm-hmm.
How's your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Is he happy?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That impressed me very much, yeah.
And we can see those family values coming out of you, especially with your value for quality over, you know, everything else. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, Selera Rasa. I know this name. This is a question from our producer, Nadira Zaidi, who loves it when local food goes into sort of fast food. She's proposing a nasi lemak pizza. We've had a nasi lemak burger. Is there such a thing on the cards for you?
Well,
she says, in fact, the question is, when are we going to see it?
Well, that one, we do have Pezzo Pizza. Now we do have chicken rice pizza.
Mm. Okay.
So we never know next. We're going to have that soon.
You never know.
I mean, your sambal is going to knock everybody off. We'll be like,
yeah, boy.
This is Malik's sambal here, you know. So we've also mentioned that you have participated in past Singapore Days in London and New York. For those of you who are not, I think, in the know about Singapore Day, that is when the large population of Singaporeans who live in near these cities come together, they get invited, they really eat all our local food, they get entertained by our local entertainers, and they have a wonderful time while they're overseas, and they remember home a little bit. This year, I understand you're going to Shanghai. So you've actually gotten to see what the markets are like overseas. Any idea of expanding elsewhere other than Singapore?
That is our plan this year, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully we get space. I mean, we got time to go there and take a look at the place. That's the plan. Yeah.
What are you looking at, regionally or even further beyond?
Well, we have a discussion whether we want to go regionally. Well, we look at Philippines, China.
Right.
Because Pezzo went there. They have a market there. So, but he did mention to me that why not we go for a bigger place like London, US, or even Australia, the nearer place.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's where the money, big money, there's a good market there.
Okay. Well, we know with the case of London that TWG, a Singapore brand, went there to fight all the big tea brands over there.
Old Chang Kee has opened.
Yeah. I heard they finished the airport in 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like $3.85 per...
Oh, really? Costs a lot, but it still sells out. Epo Epo is curry puff.
Yeah, curry puff. Well, how do you feel when you hear news like that? Like, does it make you excited of
encouraged?
The potential? Or are you like, wow, how did they do it?
It really inspired me, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I really want to... That's why I told them. I told them we gotta move it fast when this hype is still there.
Yeah.
But for your nasi lemak, £3.85 is too cheap. Like, you can go a little higher than that. So you also gave up your career as a pilot to take over your father's stall, Selera Rasa, in Adam Road. Can you tell us about that transition, and do you at all regret that?
Well, at first, I did mention to a lot of guys, I said, actually, it's not a career yet. It's just
you were starting ambition. Out. Yeah. Oh, I see.
I went for the interview, then I was regret. Yes, regret, yes, because that's my dad's ambition for me to bring me into the nasi lemak stall.
Okay.
But after a few years now, I think no more regret.
This is life for you, huh?
Yeah.
Malik, I'd like to ask you a difficult question, but I think the answer will be a very personal one. I've noticed that you're very focused on quality. I admire that. But you can't help that around you there's a lot of news. News of, you know, people complaining, or even news of, you know, hygiene issues and whatnot, food poisoning, blah, blah, blah. A lot of distraction. How do you maintain focus?
We cannot run away from that. Because we cannot run away from people complaining about our food. Because every single people have their own taste bud. Yeah. So, and then, you know, sometimes people cannot eat too spicy.
Sure.
An example, one pot of rice for 50 people. One pot of sambal, maybe is for 4%, maybe 200 people.
Okay.
So they serve the same amount of quality nasi lemak, same amount, but only one fella get food poison. I mean, they will go see doctor. So we cannot tell them, oh, it's not because of us. No matter how, we have to accept it. You just tell them, okay, fine, you have to go to the doctor, I will pay you whatever amount you go and see the doctor.
Mm.
Because if you talk logic, if there's a hygiene problem, it could be like 50 people.
Everybody will.
200 people.
Get it. Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the thing about, that's what I believe.
Mm.
Because we cook in bulk. Yeah, that's the thing. So, but no matter how, like I always told a lot of people, you guys are not my customer. You guys are my boss.
Mm.
You guys are my boss. If you got sick, I'll pay you.
Okay.
Okay.
You just see the doctor, we just pay you.
That's an interesting position that you put yourself in. Yeah. So besides this, certain people needing to go to the clinic and whatever after they eat their food, can you tell us about a time where you have perhaps received other sort of feedback that might have hurt you, affected your company's reputation? And then how did you choose to fix that and restore the customer's confidence?
There's actually one story that we had gone viral when I opened Ion, I think. That's our fourth outlet.
Okay.
A customer came down, take the rice, make it to a video. They say that the rice is a plastic rice.
What?
What?
Yeah. And it was like 400-500 shares.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We was like, what is this?
Yeah, you must have been really upset.
Yeah. It was really... I couldn't sleep because I'm a quality person.
Sure.
Yeah, so I went down, I go and check. So AV came down, NE came down, but they know because rice, when come from overseas, they will go to AVA checks first. AVA will say, we approve, then they will go to us.
Mm.
So, but no matter how we still invite her for makan together.
Right.
Oh, that was how you chose to fix the situation.
We didn't really like kill the fellow who will make this kind of complaints. Yeah. It hurts, but the boss is the boss. So we just bring them to have another round of makan.
So you made them your friend, basically.
And did that person fix your reputation after that? Did they post something complimentary to make up for the bad press?
Well, actually, the best part of it is this viral, it can be a good viral and it can be a bad viral. But once we invite her there, it turned out to be a good viral and...
Took a chance.
Ion went up, the sales went up.
Yeah, you know, Malik, I think all she wanted was a free meal.
Maybe, Ooh, maybe she's tuning in now. Malik, last question for you, and we really appreciate your time this morning. If you could give one piece of advice to someone who is looking to start an F&B business, what would you say to them?
Be good in your product. If you have a mee goreng that you want to sell, just sell the mee goreng.
Okay.
And from the mee goreng, you bring a lot of things. Mee goreng chicken, mee goreng mutton, whatever things that you want. But just concentrate on that mee goreng. Focus. I always believe in focus in one product. Yeah.
You taught me a lot today. Thank you very much to our co-founder of Crave Nasi Lemak and Teh Tarik, Malik Hassan, in the studio with us. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.